Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Unlike the other Sundays of the Easter season, today, Rogate does not get its name from the first words of the Latin introit. Instead, it gets its name from the days that follow it. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday preceding the Ascension of our Lord are known as Rogation Days. These are days that the people of God would reapply themselves to prayer. In fact, they really start from a time when a volcano was coming to erupt, and so the bishop of that area called the people of God not to hide in their homes, not to flee the city, but to find themselves in the church in constant and fervent prayer to God. They recognized that this disaster that was about to befall them was a punishment from God, and so they needed to return to Him in prayer. The same is true for us today. When you look at our Old Testament lesson, and unfortunately I can't spend as much time as I want to today because I have something very important that's going to take me a while to get through, not as long as it took me on Thursday. I wanted to test this, and it took me about an hour and 40 minutes on Thursday. Don't worry, I know you have brunch to get to. It won't be an hour and 40 minutes. But it is something that we will have to unpack in the future to fully comprehend and understand. But in our Old Testament lesson, you see that the people are getting complacent. They no longer care about the fact that God is still providing them day after day. And so instead of being thankful for the daily bread that they receive, they grumble. They grumble against their God. They grumble against their pastor and leader, Moses. And so God punishes them. He sends fiery serpents, poisonous serpents, ones who would bite the people, and many of the people started to die. What did the people do? Did they lock themselves in their houses? No, they approached Moses and asked for help from God. That's what they did. They prayed, and they prayed fervently. God heard their prayer. He heard their repentance. And so God told Moses what to do. He said, build a bronze serpent and set it high on a pole that when people were bitten, they would look to that serpent and live. Notice God doesn't take the serpents away. God still allows them to have death. But He gives them a way out to look at the thing that is placed high and lifted up. This is our Lord Jesus Christ, high and lifted up on a cross to save the whole world from eternal death. This bronze serpent is a type pointing to the Jesus who would be high and lifted up for us to see, for us to believe, and be saved. Now, as much as I would love to spend more time on that, I must move forward. I also wanted to spend some time on our epistle lesson about how we are not only to be hearers of the word, but doers, how it is supposed to be living and active in us. And yet I cannot. Because I want to focus on something that Jesus talks about in our gospel lesson. John 16, words that aren't included in your bulletins, but I read them afterward. These words. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Dear American Christian, there are so many changes going on around you, you can't keep up. There are so many different things that our culture seeks to destroy that you took for granted, that you thought your children and your children's children would also be able to enjoy. These are things that you've seen. You've seen your favorite people canceled for a remark, a joke that they might have made 20 years prior. No one is safe unless you follow the new rules. You know this is a part of our society now. You know that this is growing in our cities and it will stretch out into our small town communities. But maybe you don't know what it actually is. And so after listening to a series of interviews with another Missouri Synod pastor and digging deeper into this, I decided it was important enough to preach to you about today. On this day when we also celebrate the mothers in our congregation, the women who gave birth to future generations, who raised them in fear and love of the Lord. But what is happening to those children? What is happening to their children? The answer is this: cultural Marxism. Now, you might have remembered Marxism as an ideology put forth by Karl Marx in his Communist Manifesto. Perhaps you've heard of socialism, Marxism, communism, and you thought, but Pastor, weren't these things fought in wars that we sent our young men to suffer and die in? They absolutely were. And all the while, it was gaining popularity here. The Communist Manifesto had the ideology that we would take the proletariat and take them over the bourgeoisie. That idea, that concept of redistribution by war, by bloodshed. And when there was a certain group of people who were kicked out of Germany in the 1930s, unfortunately it wasn't the Nazi Party, these people came to America and they found a solace in New York at a university that would come to be called Columbia University. These men said, perhaps we can't do it by mere bloodshed. Perhaps we must do it by changing the culture. And so that's how they set out to do it. No longer would there be a proletariat and a bourgeoisie. Now we have only two classes. We have the oppressors and the oppressed. That is what cultural Marxism teaches. And you, dear Christian, you, dear person of the Western civilization, are a part of the oppressor group. That is how it's set up. No matter what you believe in your heart, no matter how you look at other people, you are naturally a part of the oppressor group. This decision of cultural Marxism is eating away the very fabric of American culture. It comes into our world today, and you can see this in a couple of different ways. Critical theory is what is being pushed. At one time, it was critical sex theory or gender theory, and now it is critical race theory. Wake up, dear American Christian, because it is everywhere around you. At one time, it started in our universities, and those who went through those universities were fed that lie, but now it's even being taught in elementary schools. Critical race theory says this. It says that you are actually to look at people based on their skin color, something that we have fought for decades to get past. The concept that I judge you not based on the color of your skin, but on your character, is done away with cultural Marxism, with critical race theory. Now you must judge a person by their color. How terrible is that? The concept that racism is ingrained in you because you have lighter skin color. You are an oppressor because of the color of skin that God made you with. Do you know what that's called? Racism. That is what is being taught. That is what's going on all around us. And it must be stopped. Black Lives Matter as an organization was very upfront about their plans and their purpose. They said very clearly they were a part of this cultural Marxism, this anti-racist move, not to actually defeat racism, but to make you acknowledge your own racism, no matter what you actually felt in your heart. The church needs to speak against this, because it is a separate and different gospel than what Jesus Christ proclaims. Racism lives in the heart. When you judge a person based on their color, that is sinful. that is wrong. God says something completely different. If our culture continues to go the way that it is going, a way of revisionist history, a way of the ideas that somehow our country wasn't founded in 1776, but rather it was founded in 1619, and all the things that go with it, we are following down a dangerous slope. We are following down the road of the destruction of Western civilization and everything that Western civilization holds to be true. Those truths used to be self-evident. All men are created equal. Not because our government says so, but because God's word says so. Every single person that your eyes will see, every single person that your ears will hear about, is a person that Jesus Christ loved enough to die for. It really doesn't matter what this looks like. This concept of systemic racism, that just because you are a part of the system, just because you are a Christian, or you might have a certain skin color, or you might be a policeman, somehow you are all grouped in with this oppressor group. As an oppressed, I can't help what I do because it's your fault. Marxism, communism, all of these groups are atheistic. They have to be. Because the whole concept is that you rely not on something else, but rather that you rely on the state. They knew that Christianity would get in the way of that. Because we don't rely on the state, we rely on God. God is the one who gives us daily bread. God is the one who provides us with everything that we need to support this body and life. God is our only salvation. For God so loved the world. The whole world, every nation in this world, every tone of skin color in this world, God so loved that he sent his only begotten Son to suffer and die for. You see, we are all part of the same race, the human race. We have all descended from the same Adam. We have all descended from the same Noah. We are all in this together. All life matters. Even that phrase is considered controversial today. But it's the truth. In Acts, we read, he gives to all life, breath and all things, and he made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed time. This is the truth. We are created equal. We are created in the image of God, regardless of what our outer appearance is. And those are things to rejoice in. God makes us all the same, and yet we also have differences. God also declares that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 3. And if we are all created in his image, and if we all fall short of the glory of God and need Jesus Christ to save us, then there is one ideology that is true, there is one ideology that will save, and that is the person and work of Jesus Christ. That is his self-sacrifice on the cross to be high and lifted up that the whole world may see, confess, and be saved. What can we do? Pray. Consecrate a prayer day. Days, weeks, fall on your knees and pray to God that he would deliver us from this evil that is going on around us. And teach your own children. I don't mean that you all need to homeschool your kids, but if you want information, that's cool too. But I am saying that the time of simply allowing our children to be raised by a system needs to be done. We need to come along our children. We need to see what they're being taught and actually be engaged in their education. Their teachers are going to appreciate the fact that you will actually engage with your own children what they are being taught. Make sure that they are being taught the truth. Make sure that they are being taught the foundations of this world. And when they are taught opposite of that, teach them the truth. Teach them who Jesus Christ is. Teach them what he has done for all men. Be good mothers. Be good fathers. The Lord has entrusted your children to you. The Lord has entrusted your grandchildren to those children, your great-grandchildren, no matter wherever you are in your life. Come alongside them and teach. Raise your children. Raise them in the Lord. They need you more than they need anyone else, especially you, Mom. God has created you to be a nurturer. God has created you to give life and then nurture that life. Rejoice in that. Rejoice in these gifts that God has given you. And moving forward, we will have to look at this more deeply. We will have to look at this in Bible studies so that we can properly be equipped to fight what is going on. Don't care so much about the world and what they will use, what phrases they will use about you for standing up for the truth. Because Jesus Christ said, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." The church sings, "Watch against the devil's snares, lest asleep he find you. For indeed no pains he spares to deceive and bind you. Satan's prey oft are they who secure are sleeping and no watch are keeping. Watch, let not the wicked world with its lies defeat you, lest with bold deceptions hurled it betray and cheat you. Watch and see, lest there be faithless friends to charm you who but seek to harm you." Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.